This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Thankfully, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pappy and Mark Linehan.
Hour number two of the Diehards here on SB Nation Radio. Anthony Pappy, Mark Linehan, O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East. Andrew Carlson running rock and roll control in Houston, pushing all the right buttons. How you doing in Houston, buddy?
He's my new best friend. We agree off air.
We're doing well. We had a little coronavirus scare down at the station, but everything's cleared up. All three people tested negative, myself included, so we're good.
Good stuff. Hey, during the break, you were asking me what the noise was in the background. I'm going to try to put my mic up to the window. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Sounds like Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah. Tree frogs, I'm told.
Those are tree frogs. They are the loudest little things, but yet they're about the size of your thumb, and they are so loud.
They go well with toast.
Hey, buddy, we get the coach's corner coming up here.
We do.
With the Marshall Thundering Herd offensive coordinator, QB coach, Tim Kranzi, going to join us next. How do you know this? Like, how do you know like the Marshall Thundering Herd coach? Like,
I get around.
Like, what is going on? You know, like, we're going 1 week to Nebraska.
Yeah,
we're going
all over the place. Coach
Kramsey's
another University of New Hampshire grad. He was a great quarterback there.
All right.
Pennsylvania native, big-time Pennsylvania football guy. And I can't wait to I'll have him tell the story about it. You know, we always talk about how people just see the success of coaches, but you don't know the background of where he's been and all over the place and the toll it takes on your family. And he had a good run about five different schools in 5 years, not from his fault, just guys that he was working for getting broomed.
Can I ask him about the road trip you guys took to Vegas, or is that off limits?
Absolutely, you can ask him. We went from the national championship game. We saw our mutual friend Chip Kelly when he was coach at Oregon. We tried to fly home. We were snowed in. We ended up driving from Arizona to Las Vegas on this road. I'm a city kid, as you know, and this was like, here's where I'm going to die.
Yeah!
Yeah, we went to a McDonald's where they actually had cowboys where you tied up your horse. Not kidding you. He'll back it up.
And you placed an order, and you were Tex.
I was Tex. Yep. Howdy. I just said howdy to everybody I ran into.
The Coach's Corner with Marshall OC and QB coach Tim Kramsey going to join us next. He is Linehan. I am Pepe. We are the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
I want winners.
Here we go.
Welcome back to the Diehards.
Hello.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
You play to win the game.
Time for the Diehards Coach's Corner.
Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah, I've already covered this.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
What the hell's going on out here?
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Put me in, coach.
My favorite segment of the week, the Coach's Corner. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. He is from Marshall University, the offensive coordinator, QB coach, Tim Kramsey's on the line. Hey, Tim, welcome to SB Nation Radio. It's Anthony and Mark in Boston. How are you?
I'm doing great, Anthony, Mark. How you guys doing, man? It's a beautiful night here in Huntington, West Virginia, man. You guys got me fired up playing that We Are Marshall sound right there, man. That's beautiful in the stadium when we get it going.
I'm not going to lie to you. Tomorrow I'm watching that movie. I haven't watched it in years, and now it got me all fired up. I'm like, what a great movie that is. I have to watch that. Do you show that to, like, recruits that come in or like, first-year players? Do you, like, all sit down as a team and watch that still?
Yeah, we do. We talk about to the recruits, and on, you know, when you're in the recruiting talk with guys, you talk about that movie and get, you know, talk to them about watching it. And then we will always do a night with our first year players, whether it's freshmen or transfers, JUCO guys, whatever it may be, where they sit down as a group and watch that movie. And you know what? The school does it as well. They get all the new freshmen get into the stadium, and we put it on the big screen for them, and we get them to watch it. You know, that's a huge part of not only the football program and the university, but a huge part of this town, a huge story in this community that like I've always said, you know, we all know that story and we all know that movie, but until you're actually a part of it, you don't really understand it until you can stand there and shake Red Dawson's hand and look some of those guys in the eyes who are on that Young Thunder and her team. So that's a big part of who we are.
That's awesome. Coach, before I give you Mark Linehan, and he gets into like the deep X's and O's and breaks down the tough questions, I need to know, because he told me a little bit off the air about some story where you guys travel from Arizona to Vegas. Can you give us a little insight on what that trip was like with Mark Linehan in a car from Arizona to Vegas?
Hey, well, you just said it right there. You're in a car with Mark Linehan for about how long? 3-4 hours, man? Stories just start coming out, man. But if Mark could tell you the name of the town that we stopped off in to get some McDonald's, I would be very impressed. But
Coach, I'll tell
it
you,
was a good time. I'll tell you that, man. It was a good time.
Coach, I tell all the time, I'm a city kid. I thought for sure that's where I was going to die, driving by tumbleweeds and ranches and horses. That's why I figured I'd tell everybody my name was Tex and then put me on the team. Hey, Coach, you know,
that was right after Coach Kell's national championship.
Exactly, it was snowing back east. Nobody could get anywhere.
Back home.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hey, Coach, we have guys on every week lately. It's been a pretty cool segment. And, you know, people always see that, you know, where you are now, this kind of stuff. I've been getting in a little bit. We had Coach David Duggan on last week at Arkansas State. Talk a little bit about the places that you've been. You know, you had a stretch of, you know, through no fault of your own, guys that you work with moving around and stuff like that, but you had a stretch of 5 or 6 years where you pretty much saw America.
Yeah, you know what? Here's what happened, man. It took me a little bit after I was done playing ball at New Hampshire to get back into coaching. Probably 4 or 5 years, you know, I went in what I call the real world and did that work. And then Sean McDonald, you know, got me back into coaching up at the University of New Hampshire, where I spent 9 years, which was like, you know, that's a long, long time in this business. Then I met my future wife, or met my wife there, got a job at FIU with Mario Cristobal down in Florida, got married down there, and then we started our trek. So we went from FIU, where Mario Cristobal was the head coach, up to Montana State. We were up there for 3 years with Rob Ash was the head coach. Left there, went to Nevada, where Brian Polian, a big name in football, was the head coach there. Left there after 1 year, went down to Sam Houston in Texas, where Casey Keeler was the head coach, was there for 1 year, and then got up here to Marshall. So this will be year three at Marshall, which is like a miracle. I spent 3 years in one place.
It's a great place to be.
We touched pretty much every part of the country, man. I swear I thought my wife was going to kill me. But she kept moving with me, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you pretty much you got to figure she's a keeper after all this if you're still hanging around. Not only all the moves, but I know you.
I have two sons, a seven-year-old and a six-year-old. The seven-year-old has lived in 5 different places in his life, man. It's crazy.
Talk a little bit about
the business, right?
Yeah, exactly. The question we ask every week now with this pandemic stuff going on, affecting recruiting, spring ball. First of all, did you guys get any spring ball in?
We got no spring ball practices in. We were set to go on Sunday. Don't ask me the exact date, but we were set to go on Sunday when this stuff started coming out on like a Wednesday or Thursday before that. So we had the whole spring planned out. You know, we had 3 practices, then spring break, and then we were going to do the other 12 practices. And then it just hit, and everything got shut down. So we got absolutely no spring practice in. You know, so like you started out saying, the Zoom meetings have become huge for us. And you know, the Zoom game's really good with the flip camera and the sharing the screens and, you know, getting the guys up in the Brady Bunch little pictures that they show up in. Man, it's a pretty good deal, man. And just like anything, you know, once you start doing it, then you realize that there's other ways to go about doing it. So it's really become, you know, everyone says a new normal. It's really become the new normal, and that's how we communicate with our players right now up until whatever the date is, they're going to let us get in front of them.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at Progressive.com. On the Progressive guest line here with the diehards, the Coach's Corner. We're on with offensive coordinator and QB coach of Marshall University, the Thundering Herd. Tim Kramsey's on the line with SB Nation Radio, the diehards. Hey, Tim, we touched a little bit about the movie, you know, We Are Marshall. Can you talk a little bit about more of the program? Give us a little insight on Thundering Herd football, what it means to put that uniform on.
Hey, Coach, real quick, are you still mistaken for Matthew McConaughey when people see the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I get that a lot when I walk down the street, especially when my shirt's off. You know what I mean? So I'm going to tell you guys, this is a special place. This is a special place. I always tell this story, and cut me off if I go too long. But, you know, with all the moving we did, which I talked about earlier, you know, when we got down to Texas, we love Texas. We were at Sam Houston, which is a top FCS program, you know. Coach Keel is a great guy to work for. The place we lived in was beautiful, and a place called the Woodlands just north of Houston. It was a great place, and I remember looking at my wife and saying, "No, we're going to be here for a while. We're not leaving." Then I got a phone call from a guy I worked with at FIU. I got a couple phone calls that year and said, "No, no, no." Then I got a phone call from a guy that worked at Marshall who I worked at FIU. And as soon as he said, "Hey, would you be interested in a job at Marshall?" I kind of looked at my wife and said, "Hey, pack up. We're going to move again."
We are Marshall.
We are Marshall. This is a special place. So, you know, to be able to put this uniform on every single day, and I know we keep going back to it, but like I said, that's what this program is, to represent the 75, and that's the 75 people who lost their life on that horrible night in November 14th, 1970. To be able to represent them every single time you put that uniform on or I put that coaching shirt on is what it's all about. And this is a small town in Huntington, West Virginia, a tight-knit community which is held together by Marshall football. So when you come into this stadium, you're going to see 20, 25,000 people packed into that place screaming, "We are Marshall," and it's a fun atmosphere to play and a great program to be a part of.
How has the pandemic hit that area? Are you guys thinking, are you optimistic about being able to play in the fall?
I'm staying very optimistic. You know, NC2A put that plan together with you know, for us, because we open up 0 week August 29th. So we can start mandatory workouts July 6th. We can start being with the guys on July 17th for walkthroughs and start our camp on July 29th. Or it might be July 31st. You don't quote me on that. But either way, I'm staying optimistic with it as what's going on. And that's kind of what we've been saying to our players. And the only way you can preach to your players and talk to your players is that you have to prepare to play a game on August 29th and be ready to deal with anything that any obstacle that's going to show up in front of you, you know, as we are learning on a daily basis here with what's going on.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Conference USA. It's, you know, people up here don't really follow. You know how it is in the Northeast college football-wise. But, boy, you look at that schedule and you look at those teams. There's some, you know, there's not really, as I say sometimes when, you know, I do some hockey for BU on the radio, Boston University, and it's not like the old days. Nobody stinks.
No, there's no easy one. There's no game you circle in conference where you say, okay, this is a win right here. You know, that's not it. Every week you're playing, it's going to be you know, one touchdown, two touchdown game. It goes back to the basic rules of football. Whoever holds on to the ball and doesn't turn it over and makes those big plays go in their direction, that's who's going to win that game. But so there's no letdown from the FIU to the FAUs to the Middle Tennessees to the Charlottes, who's an up and coming program now, to the UABs, and now getting into the other division, the UABs and the North Texases and UTSAs and all those schools, Western Kentucky, of course. You know, it's a heck of a schedule, and you know, our AD Mike Clement does a great job of getting out of conference games. So we actually have Pitt coming into Huntington this year, and we have Boise State coming into Huntington this year.
That should be fun.
You know, it's fun. Yeah, it's good for the crowd. There's other teams I'd rather play, but.
Hey, Coach, we got about a couple minutes left here. Talk a little bit about expectations for 2020. Where do you see this team shaping up?
Yeah, quarterback Isaiah Green too.
Yeah, but let's start with Isaiah Green. Isaiah Green's going on his third year. He's a great kid to work with. He's a great guy to play. Started as a freshman, got hurt a little bit that year, lost four games that year, played all last year. You know, he's been productive in the throw game, productive in the run game, responsible for 36 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Something I can say that he knows me and him got to work on is he cut the interceptions down, and you know that's going to come with more maturity and more good decision making. But you know, he's a 15 game winner in 22 games as a starter, so you know, that's a good deal. And like I said, he's just a good fun kid to work with, and expectations for him this year is sky's the limit for that kid. You know, I don't care what program you're talking about, but especially where we're at, the program's only going to go as far as a quarterback takes it. So that's what we expect from Isaiah this year. And our expectations as a team is, you know, winning is the only thing here at Marshall program. You know what I mean? Huntington, West Virginia, the expectations, and I would never want to be any place where the expectations aren't to win a championship every single year. So, you know, we got ourselves a lot of guys coming back defensively. We only lose three guys on offense, which we feel we can fill pretty pretty easy, pretty quick on the offensive side of the ball. Doc Holliday's going on, I want to say, year 12 as a head coach, 12 or 13 as a head coach. So, you know, we expect to make a run at that title like everybody else in Conference USA, but we expect to be there at the end of the season.
Hey, Coach, it was great talking to you, great catching up. Stay safe down there, and tell all my friends down there in West Virginia. You know I'm huge down there.
I know you are, man. You ever come by, give me a call, man. We'll get you over to
absolutely
the game,
tell
man. Absolutely.
Okay? Tell them Tech said howdy.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you, Coach. There he is, the offensive coordinator, QB coach, coach of Marshall University, the Thundering Herd, Tim Kramsey, on the Progressive Guest Line. Quick TO when we come back from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Joey Murray, pal of the show, going to join us next. You keep it right here. It's SB Nation Radio.
The diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can just shoot, have the parts delivered directly to your door. You give them your address, all that stuff, free shipping. Most orders over $35.
Did they bring me out like a cheeseburger, too, you think?
They probably won't bring you a cheeseburger, but they can bring you a muffler. Right. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I still can't believe you travel from Arizona to Las Vegas with that our new friend Coach
Kramsey, yeah,
and who else was with you?
Boy, on that trip we had there was a whole bunch of guys there. We were at the national championship game in Arizona, Oregon, when Oregon got screwed by that crap call when the back was down. Cam Newton's team, and yep. It was like a 4-hour ride.
Was Chippa with you?
No, he was actually accepting the Coach of the Year award that night somewhere in Texas. He flew home, ended up meeting us in Vegas. It was a whole bunch of us. It was a bunch of coaches. It was like, I know we rented two cars. It was eight of us, and we drove on this road that was just literally through the desert and cattle ranches, like cattle ranches. I'm
well,
a city kid.
You were in Vegas. I'm sure you gambled a little bit. Speaking of gambling, our next guest is the host of the gambling show Over Under on 98.5 The Sports Hub. He's a big contributor.
No, under.
Of 98.5, also as a podcast, just hitting here. Friend of the show, Joey Murray. Joe, welcome to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Pat? But I just wanted to say, I did have Auburn in that national championship game, so they got the cover there. So I'm very happy about that.
I know. I had the Ducks.
Once again, Progressive Guest Line, Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. So, Jerry, you're a gambling guy. You just talked about you had Auburn in that game. You worked out. We know how much of a gambler you are, watching you on social media. Are you jonesing? What's happening now with no sports? What are you doing?
I've been holding the bankroll, but it's starting to get a little itchy now, you know.
All right.
The hand is getting itchy. But again, I I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're further away from sports than we are closer. I know they set timetables, but baseball today, like, possibly took another step back. Basketball, we don't know. I mean, I know there's a plan in place, but there might be some players that don't want to play. And, you know, we're going to probably bet on soccer at some point, MLS. And the cases of the coronavirus continues to grow up in Orlando. So, you know, the more I look at it, I think we're further away than we are close to it. But at the same time, like, I can't wait for sports to come back, because we're going to be watching them on three TVs at once. It's going to be like Vegas in our house or on our phone with our laptops. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same boat. I know a lot of my friends that would be labeled degenerates in a complimentary fashion. They're all itching to lose money, too, I think, at the same time. I was telling Pep a story off the air years ago. I worked in a bar in Boston where it was so long ago they had ashtrays. But one of my guys who was just an absolute degenerate gambler in a good way, he used to trap a cockroach at the end of the night and put it under the ashtray. And you'd put a $20 bill on each side, east, west, north, and south of the ashtray. He'd spin it around, and whichever way the cockroach ran out, you cashed the $80.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love those Dr. Pepper halftime challenges, you know, when they try to get the football through the tire. Like, well, I'll bet on that stuff all day, man. That's That's like the fun stuff. But yeah, raindrops going down a window, I get on that too. I mean, that's all. It's better than watching horse on TV, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Joe Murray from 98.5, the Sports Hub, joining us here on SB Nation Radio, the diehards. Hey, are you betting on UFC? You winning any money? You betting on NASCAR? Some of the golf stuff that's happening? When the stuff that came back, are you plunging?
So the UFC has been very profitable. Generally, I like to just bet underdogs and have fun with it, right? But there's been five events. I didn't watch this past weekend, but there's been five events. The underdog has been 5-1 in the main event in UFC.
Wow.
So the only winner has been Amanda Nunes. So, you know, there is some value in that. But overall, like, favorites are better at like a 70% clip right now. So I know, and the one thing is right now with not a lot to bet on, the juice isn't that high. What I mean by juice is we're not seeing minus 600s. We're seeing more like minus 280. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So sometimes there's a little bit of value in that considering, you know, right now there's not much to bet on. And another thing, too, is every woman's fight, for the most part, has gone the distance in UFC. So I've been keeping an eye on that. And listen, they did it smart, right? They were the first ones to get out there. You know, they pretty much have the blueprint on how to get this started. In the first event, someone tested positive in their corner. They got them out of there. They've been the blueprint. And Dana White has said this. He thinks that everyone else is afraid to be the first. I agree with him, but he continues to have, what, 8 events in 10 weeks or 11 weeks or whatever? Like, they might get over, and I think baseball missed out on this gap and this opportunity.
What about esports? I know absolutely nothing about esports except for the kids that usually did it or the kids that you took their lunch money from. I mean, are you doing anything like that? How's that working? Do you think that goes south once real sports come back?
No, but you know what I will tell you? I don't touch that stuff. Like, anything that simulates, even, like, online betting. I've had glitches before on, like, blackjack. I'm out on all that stuff. But the kids love this stuff. They love these Madden simulations that are going on. That's one thing that DraftKings is doing a lot of. They're like, doing their updated, simulations or whatever. I'm not into it. There's stuff like Call of Duty you can bet on.
Yeah.
Again, this is, like, hey, guys, I'm an old millennial, but, like, that stuff's out of – I can't bet on video games or any of that stuff. But I will tell you what's big right now is the Bundesliga. You know, Premier League came back this week. The La Liga came back. There's a lot of eyes on that stuff. And the South Korean soccer, like, this weekend, people are betting on that stuff, and it's better than Korean baseball, I'll tell you that much.
You think that esports would be something that would be easy to fix, you know? Just get the nerdiest kid. Stick them in the locker and tell them to lose.
Hey, listen, early on, a lot of these, horse tournaments and, those are all we already knew they were recorded. So, like, we already knew the outcomes beforehand. And you would see the line jump from, like, minus 300 to minus 120 the day of because the stuff was getting leaked out. So, early on in this pandemic, stuff was pre-recorded and it was getting leaked out.
Hey, Joe, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Now, again, you and I worked together many years ago at a Boston sports radio station. Obviously, you do a fantastic job on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But you started your own podcast. Like, you're just sitting there. To talk a little bit about the podcast game and how fun that's been, the daily podcast, and also the challenges of doing a podcast.
So, listen, I wanted to stay sharp. We weren't going to get many hours because everyone's under contract. I just wanted to do something about, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. What's going on? What am I watching on television? Things of that degree. Minimal sports, but at the same time, I wanted to get guys that I've worked with in the past and kind of talk about their stories. You know, when it comes to guys on the radio, just like you guys, right? You got a story to tell. You somehow came here at some point. We all developed from somewhere. But it's basically doing that type of conversation, but at the same time, you know, trying to talk about what's actually happening with yourselves and with the world and getting to know you. But, you know, the one thing that's changed to me is live stream. People want to see you on video now. They want to know what you look like. They want to see banner ads and clips and things of that degree. So that's the one thing that I truly have worked on. I think digital is the way to go, guys.
By the way, I'm watching you on Facebook. You are a handsome fella. Did I lose him?
Yeah, there you go. See, that's what happens when you hit on guys.
I said, handsome fella, he's gone. Joey, thank you so much for joining us. Joe Murray from 98.5, the Sports Hub, does the gambling show Over Under, his podcast, just sitting here. Another TO, when we return, we'll talk some football. Dr. Fauci says football can be played just in a bubble.
You can't play it anymore. You can listen to it on the radio in your car.
Dr. Football's next.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Jumping right back to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. He is a regular, a friend of the show, co-host. He works for New England Football Journal and RotoPlanner.com.
Like does the clothes a lot of stuff you buy at Marshall's.
At PC, Boston College at the Heights. Dr. Football, John Serenitas. How are you on this Thursday, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. I'm just curious, with all the craziness happening around the world, with all these other leagues, are you now starting to really worry about football being the same?
Well, according to Fauci, we might not be playing it. So I'm more worried about the fact that we might not be playing football in the fall. If you listen to him the last couple of days and what he's saying about October, November, if you're the NFL, you have to take notice. I mean, certainly a lot of his comments were pointed towards Major League Baseball. But
sure.
if I'm Roger Goodell and these 32 owners, I'm concerned because it doesn't just affect baseball. It's going to affect football as well because – again, if we do, let's say, have this fabled second wave, it's probably going to come right around that time, and it'll be interesting to see how the league handles it because you have to assume they're going to play. Again, I think the bigger question is, do they play in front of fans or not? But let's say you do have this second wave happen around Halloween. What do you do then if you're the league? Do you shut down for a period of time? Because, look, they're going to get positive tests. It's the reality of the situation. But It's an unenviable position to be in. The NFL is going to have some logistical things that they're going to have to work through, and they're going to have some plan Bs in place, if you will, if they do, in fact, have to shut things down later on in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL is, if anything, they'll go. I'm with you, but, you're talking colleges and even down to your level at high school. 13 Texas Longhorns tested positive today. The Orlando, everybody's getting sick. It looks like the second wave might be coming a little bit early. I mean, do you see the point now? They're talking about kids signing, college players signing waivers. I mean, what do you do if you're a high school coach and your star quarterback's mother won't let him sign the form?
Well, that's going to be the problem. That's why, ultimately, I think, even though I've been pretty steadfast in my belief that it's probably a 50-50 proposition that high school football happens this year, I'm beginning to think it's probably more like 30-70 that it doesn't because – again, you make a great point, Mark. What if it becomes a situation where the district says, okay, we're going to do waivers, and if you're not comfortable with your child participating, then don't let him play. But if they do participate, you need to sign this waiver. Well, there might be parents that might say, you know what? I'm not putting my kid at risk, even though, as we've seen, young people aren't really affected by this per se. It's a very small percentage of them that have been up until this point. But, yeah, look, I'm going to go back to what I've been saying all along, which is 2020 is a wash. And if we get any sports this year, it's going to be a gift from the heavens because, realistically speaking, it's a complete poop show right now. No one knows what's going to happen.
And the fact that, no, I agree with you, nobody knows what's going to happen, so there's not many guidelines set up. Think about the things you have to do at, I'm sure where you coached at high school as far as separating locker rooms and showers and, things like that haven't even been discussed yet. They're going to take time, and we're talking, 2 months away from camp starting, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other issue you're going to run into is that what's the state going to do? Yep. What's the state going to do in the fall? Let's say that hypothetically, you mentioned this just now. You're starting to see that second wave already in places like Arizona and Texas and Florida. We're eventually going to get that, too. We're not going to miss out on that. It'd be nice if we did, but we're not, more than likely, in the Northeast and in other parts of the country. So what do you do when it comes back? And I think that's going to be the challenge here is that do you just assume we're going to get a second wave and prepare in that manner? Or do you just roll with the punches, and when it happens, you deal with it then? I guess you could say that's what's happening right now in those states that I mentioned earlier, that they're just kind of rolling with the punches. But when you look at their numbers, that's not exactly an effective way to deal with this.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. On the Progressive guest line, friend of the show, Dr. Football, John Serenitas, is on with diehards Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, SB Nation Radio. You know, we're talking about the NBA and their plan of playing in Orlando. You know, Florida cases are going through the roof. I mean, it was like 2,000, 2,900. Today it was 3,200 people.
Stop testing. That's my answer.
And climbing. So what you're telling me is the cases are going to climb in Florida, yet you're going to drop the NBA players in a situation in Orlando.
And tell them they can't go out.
And tell them they can't go out and go by. All these players are going to play by the rules. It's never going to happen, ever.
No, it's not going to happen. And that's why, honestly, when you look at the NBA and the NHL, I am surprised that they're playing again. I understand you don't want to end the season like that and not crown a champion and place an asterisk on this season, but I think you're asking for trouble. I mean, I think the NFL is going to run into this. So at the end of the day, what's the point of coming back? Can you blame some of these owners in baseball that are saying, hey, I don't want to play this season, let's just move on? I don't blame them either. When you think about the potential liability, you might as well take the L on 2020 and try to hope that you can salvage 2021. Now, when you would start remains to be seen. But, yeah, I the NBA, to me, has gotten a free pass on this. But in many ways, they've really mishandled this whole thing.
You know, we talked about the issues with the pandemic. Now you're talking about the movement as well. Teams going to have to change their names. We saw the SEC sent out a memo to Mississippi today telling them to knock it off. And I heard today or tonight, locally here in Massachusetts, Walpole School Committee voted to, you know, the Rebels are all done. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue here with the cancel culture and eradicating the past and acting like as if it didn't happen. I don't know, gentlemen. Are we living in revolutionary France here? I mean, what are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing here? This is ridiculous to me. What is that going to change if you go from being the Walpole Rebels to what? You go back to being the Hilltoppers, which is what they were before they became the Rebels? What? Now what? Eventually somebody's going to tell you that Hills feel offended because they have people standing on them, so you can't be the Hilltoppers anymore. I don't get it. And is Ole Miss going to – are they going to – crack, and are they going to cave, and are they going to change their name? I mean, it's getting ridiculous to me, and I don't understand. I don't get it for the life of me. I don't understand this cancel culture. I don't see how it solves any of our societal problems. Quite frankly, I think the whole thing is stupid.
Now, I just thought of this one, too. Think about it from a budgetary standpoint, having to spend money on new uniforms.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Where's that money coming from?
All your whole marketing, you know, you have to do this. Hey Doc, I'm curious to get your take. And again, I don't want to get too political here. I know you do a lot of politics and you have a lot of opinions here. But, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, what is happening in the world and how do you feel about the players speaking out against coaches on social media? Does that seem a little disrespectful? Now, again, I understand why the players are doing it, but why not just go to the coach directly instead of calling him out on social media? Because to me, it's like if you have a problem with your family, you go directly and deal with the problem. No?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I did not like the way Chuba Hubbard handled that whole thing with Mike Gundy. Why don't you just go to the coach? And here's the bigger question. If Gundy was running such a bad program in that regard in terms of race relations and better understanding his players, why hasn't this been addressed before? Why wasn't it addressed? Why wasn't it out there? Why didn't we know about it? I mean, it took him wearing an OAN T-shirt on a fishing trip to expose the fact that he doesn't understand the plight of some of his players. It took his running back, who's a Heisman Trophy candidate, coming out and calling him out on Twitter to help him become woke and make changes. None of it adds up to me. And I agree with you. In the old days, and when I say the old days, probably a year or two ago,
last
you go
Wednesday
to your coach and say, hey, I'm not happy. Can we do something about this? You don't call him out on Twitter. I thought he completely mishandled that.
Hey, Doc, NFL announced today, Hard Knocks. I'm sure you're a fan of it as I am, Pep, is that they're going to do two teams this year, both L.A. teams. What are your thoughts on that? I'd like to see more of one team. I don't know. I guess you can split up and show the good stuff.
Yeah, I would have preferred just the Chargers. I mean, the Rams were on there, what, 3 or 4 years ago? I mean, I get it wasn't that exciting because Jeff Fisher is about as interesting as white paint. But, you know, the reality is, why do you need to do two teams? I don't understand that. I would have been content with just the Chargers. But, who knows? Beggars can't be choosy either. Teams aren't exactly lining up to do Hard Knocks these days.
You mentioned Fisher. I'm just curious, what's the most underrated head coach in the National Football League?
Right now, that's a very good question. I mean, I think when you look at a head coach who gets a lot out of his team, probably gets more out of his team than he should. I mean, look, I think you look at a guy like Frank Reich in Indianapolis. I mean, I thought he did a great job last year. When you think about Andrew Luck just retiring on them out of nowhere and some of the injuries that they had during the season, I thought he did a tremendous job keeping them competitive and keeping them in playoff contention. I think another guy that is in that similar vein is Doug Peterson. I mean, look at the job he did in Philadelphia last year. Now, people are going to say, is he really underrated? I mean, he's one of the best offensive coaches in the league, Philly special, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that he got them in the playoffs last year.
Playoffs?
And they competed, that says a lot about him as a coach and the structure of that organization. So I would say those two guys are two guys that, to me, immediately come to mind in terms of underrated coaches that do a good job.
Talk when we talk next week. Will there be any sports? What's the odds on who do you think coming first? Looks like they all seem to have a plan. The Major League Baseball's plans every day. I've never seen a commission that went from 100% to 0% in about 42 hours. But it looks like hockey seems might be getting it going. Basketball, I just can't see under the rules that they're saying right now. I love the idea of quarantining players. That's a good idea, telling LeBron James he can't go to Burger King.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL seems to be ready to go. I don't really know what their plan is, per se. I mean, are they going to play in Fargo, or are they going to play in Keene, New Hampshire? I don't know what they're doing, but it seems like they've got a pretty solid plan, and they're going to get started up here again. But here's the problem you're going to run into, though. What happens when players start testing positive?
Yep.
If enough of them test positive, your best bet is to shut things down. I mean, you're seeing it in the world of wrestling. WWE had to shut down this week because they had a wrestler test positive. So who knows?
All comes back to my plan. Stop testing.
Yeah. Stop testing. Why do you keep poking the bear?
But the problem is...
I have a cold right now. I may have it. I don't know. But I haven't been tested.
The problem is we keep hearing about there's so much money involved, and we know about the money. We know about the stadium money and the revenue and the marketing, the broadcast rights and the player and the owner's money and all the money that is involved and that they're losing. So we get why they want to play and recoup some of this money. But what happens when they invest all this money into this plan B that you have all this testing and all this special transportation, all this hotel, and then all of a sudden you've got to shut it down? Now you're even more behind the eight ball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. And ultimately, in the case of the NBA, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they still pull the plug on this thing. And they've invested in this so-called plan that apparently now is almost as flawed as the Treaty of Versailles. But who knows what's going to happen? I mean, if they decide to pull the plug and not play, they're going to lose even more money. So, yeah, it's a catch-22 because you need the advertising dollars. You have the TV deal. But, again, if you've got – you know, dozens of players testing positive every day. There's no way on earth you can go along, you know, pretending like it's business as usual. It's not. It's a different time. Now, let me just add this. We always have to come to grips with the reality here that this is a virus and it's not going away. So even if we come up with a vaccine and more treatments, it's still going to be there. So at some point, we're just going to have to say, life goes on and we got to deal with it.
Yeah, you know, getting back to the NBA, I it seems nothing is finalized. I'm sure teams are, you know, amongst themselves, players are saying they're going to do this. You know, nobody's come out basically and said, I'm not going there. But how about a team that, you know, is not going to make the playoffs, is going to go for whatever, five or six games or whatever the number is, you know, take away their whole life, take away their summer. I'm sure a lot of those, you know, millionaire, billionaire NBA players have plans in July and August that don't involve being locked in at Holiday Inn in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of it. That's why I think you've seen so much pushback from the players in the NBA. A lot of players weren't happy that the players' union supported this because they didn't support it individually. So their plan, to me, was just whack from the beginning. I never understood it. It made no sense to me. The NBA, for what it's worth, has not had a good year. Between this plan and the whole Daryl Morey debacle at the beginning of the season with China, it has not been a good year for Adam Silver, who, by all accounts, is the golden boy of commissioners in the United States. When it comes to pro sports, he hasn't had a good year, neither has his league.
Doc, final 20 seconds here. You are Dr. Football, but if there's no football in the fall, what are you going to be like, become Dr. Netflix? I mean, what happens? Yeah. What do you do for your weekends?
I don't want
your weekends?
Netflix. You know
going to private practice.
What's
I'm going to be Dr. Real Estate. I'm just going to be a realtor and live my life, Pep. I'm going to have to just learn to cope with no football. It's going to be hard, but, hey, thank goodness for cut-ups. I can watch old games.
Hey, good stuff, man, as always. I'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Okay, buddy?
Thanks, Doc.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
There he is, John Serenitas, Dr. Football. We'll take our final
break. Got to tell Dr. Fauci to shut it.
And we'll come
Mind
back.
Mind your business, Fauci.
And wrap things up. He's Linehan. I'm Pepe. We are the Diehards. You're locked into SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Final segment here. Isn't it funny, Linehan, like every week how things change? Where we've been going through this the whole pandemic on the air, and it's like 1 week, all right, this sport looks good, this sport looks great. Where is this sport? There's no proposal. Oh, my God, there's a proposal. It looks wonderful. It's a great plan. It's going to happen. And then literally the next week we come on a Thursday, and it's like, boom. That whole thing we talked about last week is gone, and it's not going to happen.
It's like calling a horse race. Here comes baseball on the outside. Looks like football going to take the lead right now. Drop the puck coming 3-1 to the outside. Basketball in Orlando at the wire. Outside, here comes the Tampa Bay Lightning for the win. Baseball coming outside, 100% the lead. Oh, it looks like the horse broke his leg.
What the hell is wrong with you?
It's kind of like that, though, isn't it?
It is definitely like that. What's up for the weekend? Anything good?
I'm going to get a hold of my friend Dr. Fauci and tell him to shut it. Mind your business. If you got nothing good to say, shut up. Stay in the car.
Andrew Carlson running rock and roll control in Houston. Great job as always.
Thanks,
buddy. We'll be back again tomorrow night, same time. Tony Bruno, the great Tony Bruno, is up next right here on SB Nation Radio.